The coward, the rash man, and the courageous man, wrote Aristotle, are all concerned with the same things, but differ in their attitudes toward them. The two former show excess and deficiency, but the other, the courageous person, has the right disposition and observes the mean. This is Dr. Jim Tonkowicz, Director of Distance Learning at Wyoming Catholic College, and your host for these after-dinner scholar podcasts. This past week, Wyoming Catholic College hosted our annual Wyoming School of Catholic Thought here in Lander, Wyoming. Adult learners came from as far away as California, South Carolina, Oklahoma, and Florida to discuss the topic, The Paradox of Courage, Desire to Live, Readiness to Die. We read and discussed authors as diverse as Homer, Plato, St. Athanasius, St. Thomas Aquinas, Sophocles, the Bible, and T.S. Eliot. We watched Sophie Scholl, a film about a courageous young woman in Nazi Germany, and the 1928 silent film, The Passion of Joan of Arc. We also left enough time for horseback riding, hiking, and many fruitful conversations about courage in the works we considered and in the world today. The After Dinner Scholar in the next few weeks will feature interviews with our professor presenters and some of the lectures from the Wyoming School of Catholic Thought. To introduce the topic, this week's interview is one I did with Wyoming Catholic College President Dr. Glenn Arbery back in January, offering a broad overview of courage in philosophy and in literature. Dr. Arbery, while it's certainly true that courage is valued today, there seems to be some confusion about what it is and why it's valued. Courage exhibited by firemen or policemen or the military is often discounted, I suspect because it seems so blue-collar. On the other hand, courage as a reason for transgressive behavior and ideas that happen to fit the spirit of the age, that's exalted. Could you comment on that?
That's a great distinction. This kind of transgressive courage usually involves doing something that used to be considered shameful and is now considered a matter of cultural importance in some way by breaking a taboo. I think what you're calling blue-collar courage, though, is really something that we need to recover, because obviously it really doesn't have any class distinction. It's just that the kind of people that you're talking about actually have to encounter danger and the possibility of death on a regular basis. That's really what the ancient world understood courage to be. It always has some reference to death of one sort or another. And if you're going into battle and you're facing the possibility of your own imminent death, then courage is that capacity that makes you capable of doing that without being cowardly on the one hand and trying to avoid any situation that would lead to, you know, danger to your person, and on the other hand, simply working yourself up into some sort of mad, rash rage. For Aristotle, it's a mean between cowardice and rashness, which means that it has to be a measured state that has a prudence in it, that, you know, that has a self-possession in it, so that someone with real courage sees what the danger is and is able to go forward and confront it by, you know, perhaps by overcoming his or her own fear, but certainly by reaching that stage where one's faculties are at one's disposal, even in the face of danger. So that's, I think, something that we tend to lose sight of, and that the ancients never lost sight of. They knew that courage always had some ultimate reference to death. I think that's an important distinction that we need to make there. One other thing I would say is that there are other ways to face shame than being transgressive, and maybe we could come back to some of those in a minute or two.
Okay. Now, since the focus of the podcast is the great books and the liberal arts, do you have some examples of true courage from
the ancient example that was kind of the paradigm for all others was Achilles in the Iliad. And that might seem odd to modern readers because Achilles is so much the superior warrior when he goes into battle that it's difficult to imagine who would be able to kill him. In fact, when he goes into his battle rage toward the end of the Iliad, it's more or less like watching somebody reap a field of wheat rather than somebody actually, standing up against a worthy opponent. But the point with Achilles is that he knew that if he avenged the death of his friend Patroclus, that he would die soon after. So to go into battle at all is to accept the death that he knows is coming. So it's that capacity to accept the fact of his death and to face whatever comes in battle, regardless of that I think makes him stand up as an example of courage. There are other kinds of courage, certainly in Livy, in his history of the Romans, or in Plutarch, there are many different occasions when you see courage exhibited. One kind of courage that stands up against shame is in the Roman figure Fabius Maximus, who is one of the opponents of Hannibal during the Second Punic War. When Fabius Maximus sees that all the other generals who have faced Hannibal have been completely outwitted, and that the Roman armies who have gone up against Hannibal's Carthaginians have been slaughtered because of the rashness of the generals, Fabius adopts a policy of always keeping Hannibal in check, but never actually engaging him in battle. In order to do that, he had to stand up against the eventual accusations by the Roman people and by his own soldiers that he was afraid to fight Hannibal. Hannibal knew better, and he knew that Fabius's strategy was weakening him and putting him in danger of running out of supplies for his troops in enemy territory. And Fabius had to stand up to all that disapprobation until the Roman people saw what exactly he was doing. That's a different kind of shame. It's the accusation of cowardice. It's the accusation of not having the kind of courage that most people think of, when in fact it's exactly the kind of courage needed to hold to a course that's the best for what your city needs, for example. Fabius was plenty courageous in the traditional sense, but something like that acceptance of the kind of death of your own honor, which he had to sustain in order to sustain Rome, I think that's a different kind of courage.
Yeah, well, it sounds like he was in that mean between cowardice right. and rashness.
Right, and to maintain his prudence in that circumstance, to maintain that courage was required him to, to accept the negative opinions of others. I mean, there are many other examples, that you can point to. The great tradition is full of them. Again, just to take a Roman example, Julius Caesar, whatever his other faults might have been, was never cowardly, especially in battle. He would go out in front of his men. He would, he would risk himself all the time. No doubt, partly to inspire them, but just because it was his virtue and his nature to be courageous in the face of death. I also think about Moby Dick, which I taught last semester, the whaling voyage, as Ishmael describes it in Moby Dick, requires courage, sort of in the, like one of your tools. You're going out chasing whales in these small whaling boats, which means that you're going to have to sit there if you're one of the guys in the crew and row while this line, that's attached to the whale is whizzing past your wrist, and the harpooner is standing up to throw another harpoon on the whale. And when you get attached, you're being pulled along at 20 or 30 miles an hour, and so on. And, just courage is a staple of the whaling industry. And there's a wonderful instance of somebody who's not up for it, and that's this little Pip, who's one of the cabin boys on the ship. And he has to replace an injured crew member. And when they get close to the whale, Pip just can't stand it, and he jumps out of the boat. The first time they pick him up, the second time they leave him behind, and he has this experience of abandonment on the wide Pacific Ocean. Anyway, I'm just, you know, it's interesting to think of what courage looks like when it's just part of your job. And this may be what we think about, you know, again, back to firemen and policemen and others. If you don't have it, then really you're not suitable for what you're being asked to do.
Yeah, a friend of ours here in town is a policeman, and every day he suits up with a bulletproof vest. Yeah. And that's heavy stuff.
That's heavy stuff. You don't know what you're going to face, yeah. Right? And that requires a daily courage.
Aside from facing death, some months ago we did a podcast with Dr. Kent Lisnowski about Flannery O'Connor's short story Revelation. How does the warthog from hell show courage?
You mean Miss Ruby Turpin.
Miss Ruby Turpin.
Ruby Turpin is everybody's favorite Pharisee, kind of. You know, she's so convinced of her own virtue and so contemptuous in her sweet way, you know, of everybody else, that it's difficult for her to achieve the kind of self-knowledge that she needs for her own spiritual change. And at the end of that story, she has to see. She sees who she is and what it means that she's a warthog from hell. You know, that she's got a kind of grotesqueness about her own moral nature. But to stand up to that requires courage. In other words, it would be easy to simply avoid the truth about yourself. I think most of us do that often. You know, really to see your own spottedness and your own, you know, moral deformity is going to require the kind of courage that's necessary for you to make any progress in the spiritual life. And I think that's what Flannery O'Connor is showing us with Ruby Turpin. And the same thing happens with the grandmother in Flannery O'Connor's story, A Good Man Is Hard to Find. Right at the end, she sort of sees something. She sees the truth of things and accepts it, embraces it. And the misfit who is just about to shoot her, just shot her, says she would have been a good woman if there'd been somebody there to shoot her every day of her life. So, you know, maybe that's what it requires, but that's also a kind of necessary courage.
Well, and it's also kind of a death.
Yes, and it's an acceptance of the death of a sense of yourself and your, you know, your own ego that is pretty important to achieve at some point.
I hope this interview with Dr. Glenn Arbery has whet your appetite for the upcoming podcast interviews and lectures about the paradox of courage, desire to live, readiness to die. And I hope these podcasts will in turn whet your appetite for the interactions, the conversations, the readings, the learning, and the activities at the 2019 Wyoming School of Catholic Thought. That will be June 9th through 14th, 2019, here in Lander, Wyoming. Mark your calendars now and plan to attend the school and to spend some extra time enjoying our beautiful state. I think you'll be glad you did. For Wyoming Catholic College, this is Dr. Jim Tonkowicz.